I should actually tell you a little bit about what I'm going to read. It's from what will eventually be a book-length essay called Black Male Bodies with Spanish-Speaking Tongues. And the section that I'm going to read, I'm going to read little bits from it, is called Splaining Yourself, and it is an epigram that is attributed to William Blake, which is, you throw the sand against the wind, and the wind blows it back again. But the book actually has yet another epigram, which is called, How Do You Say My Name in Your Language? And it's attributed to a white proverb. Explaining yourself. Oyese, before you sail your black male body with its Spanish-speaking tongue across El Estrecho de Florida, into the arms of a country you believe will understand you. You will need more than that electronic pocket translator you wrapped in plástico for the journey. Although it's only 90 miles stretched between La Habana and the Bay of Biscayne, there's something in the air, in the water over which you would cross, that performs an alchemy for which there is no limpia, that will mark you forever as the unknown. Like you, with the free and the brave, history is short, though its emotive states are long. Therefore, the majority of questions that you will be asked will be about your body rather than your personhood. As if in a protracted game of cowboys and Indians, what you are, rather than who you are, is the average height of hurdles set in a circuitous series of marathons that you will run. Abre la boca y porfa. You'll just as easily be assumed as African as you will be told that you look like some celebrity. Claim Latino identity, and non-Hispanoblans will request that you demonstrate your native language, even though they have no idea what you're saying. You will find that when you use the term Latino, particularly in statements like, our department is very diverse. We have a number of African Americans, Asians, and Latinos. Although they have no idea that they've conflated cultural background with notions of race. Entonces, try to explain the term Latino in English is representative of an intersection of both Latin and Anglo-colonial enterprises in the United States. You'll be told, you don't look Latino. Cuban is more difficult. Even though, it is. Even though the I Love Lucy show first aired over 60 years ago, Ricky Ricardo is hard to shit. As you try to explain that Arnaz's character on the show sings Babalu, Babalu Aye, he's not singing exclusively in Spanish, but in something that's representative of a mingling of African and European cultures on the island. That the chorus was never translated on the show, lines like Que mi negra quiera, or Barulú na negra santa, santa que tengo, otra negro, only references the blackness of a deity he's invoking, but does so in what Arnaz believes to be an Afro-Cubano dialect. Even your dentist, first-generation Greek immigrant, will stop and ask, are you Cuban or are you black? And will not put his hands back into your mouth until you suggest that he think of Major League Baseball or the Buena Vista Social Club. Clearly, even though Santiago, Cuba is at the southernmost tip of North America, asiento slave trade is not a term given to memorize for North American middle school exams. There appears to be only one Cuban tale of immigration allowed here. Despite the collectors of Celia Cruz records and La Lupe albums, on vinyl you'll meet a cocktail parties who will accurately chronicle both their careers from the beginning to end, and then admonish you for not knowing your own heritage. Oye, hombre, in los Estados Unidos de America, the story of Cuban immigration must begin with the loss of a finca, a great main house, lands as far as the eye can see, that culminates in a flight in the middle of the night that ends in Miami with hatred and a painful longing for a place to which you can never return. Apparently here, Jefferson never attempted to negotiate Cuba away from Spain and adopted as a state with the hope of reducing the cost and expedite the traffic of the U.S. slave trade. José Martí never made a landmark trip to the challenge U.S. scholars on the notion of color. And Saturnino Oretas Armas Mini Inosa Arieta was never signed to the Cleveland Indians in 1949. You'll meet other black Latinos who carefully differentiate and segregate themselves from African Americans. You'll know them because they're the ones who will only speak to you in Spanish. They will not even look or speak to other African Americans in the room. The same way that other Latinos speak of los otras, to mean white people. Los otros between Afro-Latinos is cold for African-Americans. At first, it's an attempt to understand. At first, it's a difficult concept to understand. But you should be implicit. It will be implicit to you if you were raised in an Afro-Latino household, or have the privilege to watch an Afro-Latino mother attempt to scold away laziness, provocative behavior, dress, and slovenliness by suggesting la vida como los otros is far less desirable and therefore unacceptable. Do you want to end up como los otros is thrown in the air like an incantation set out like a vela, meaning to ward off poverty, ignorance, incarceration, unwanted pregnancy, drug abuse, and possibly the most important, misidentification as non-Latino. Brusilas moscas, jefe. See it long enough, and you'll find yourself quoting from a Baldwin essay that illuminates U.S. blackness for you. You know, it's not the world that's my oppressor. Because what the world does to you, if it does it to you long enough and effectively enough, you begin to do it to yourself. Entonces, if you were looking directly at a face and a body that looks so much like yours, it could be your brother's, that you could be told it was what you were inherited. I'm sorry, I misread that. Those are brothers. That you could be told what it is that you've inherited. Rarely when he asks you, where are you from, is he not presenting you or leveling a challenge? It's a question about how you got what he didn't. What's more available to you and what's less available to him? Chico, he's checking your tongue, your background, your cultural heritage, because it's not as black as he is. He is looking for an opportunity to remind you that everything else about you, as if you didn't know. Conceive a body suspended in space, pedestalized and policed for the suspicions it generates, independent of itself. Imagine a space in which suspicions are only mediated by innocence. But the difference between the two, suspect and innocence, is marginal at best in the ways in which they need each other to exist. And the mediation between the two is enacted on the body without ever engaging it. Therefore, the possible innocence of any black male infant is floated as suspect on what it might grow into. Pero cierto, as a black boy grows, it is the body that is more likely than any others to be asked if it knows anything about missing wallets, televisions, petty cash, and cars. More likely than any other, it will be asked where to buy reefer, even if it doesn't smoke. More likely than others, it will be expected to know where to procure a prostitute. Thank you.